I'll repeat a couple of things just so that this could be a standalone message. The title is, When God Turned Sadness to Joy, 1 Samuel 1, 17 and 18. When God turned sadness to joy, 1 Samuel 1, 17 and 18. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Let's pray. Lord, again, we ask for your working in our hearts. Use us for your glory. Lord, as we have many at home that are watching, I pray that you bless each one. Use this word in their hearts and in their families. In Christ's name, amen. We know the story of Hannah, how she couldn't have children and longed to raise a child for God's glory. So when they would go to Shiloh each year to worship and sacrifice, and by the way, Shiloh means he who is to be sent, Peninnah would mock Hannah. Hannah loved the Lord and wanted to raise a child for God's glory. This wasn't just a natural biological need of a woman to have children. She was a woman that loved the Lord and wanted to honor him. She may have even taken her barren womb as a sign of God's disfavor, which it wouldn't be. But we don't know how she took it. Many, though, in that time did see it this way, though. Her prayers were driven by her love for God. We see that. Peninnah specifically taunted her on their trip to worship yearly. So this was more related to Hannah's relationship to God than to a biological need. Now, not every woman who can't have children will have her petition to God for a child be granted. We know that. Sometimes it simply isn't God's will. Other times it is God's will. I know y'all are aware of this. This isn't a profound revelation, really. We all realize that sometimes the answer is no. For many different heartbreaking situations in life, many other situations in life where we fervently cry out for something that we really want. Maybe we're crying out to God to heal a child or to heal a relative or to give us a child or whatever it might be, for God to save a child. We know that God is in control of these things. But the encouragement that we have from this verse is that sometimes the answer is yes. Encouragement to pray. An encouragement to be in fervent prayer. Because sometimes the answer is yes. Whenever we have a heartbreaking situation in life, we naturally ask the question, why? It isn't necessarily simple to ask if it is, as long as it isn't a sinful attitude as to why we're asking why. God eventually explained to Job why he had heartbreaking events happen. And God blessed and restored to Job what he had lost. And God eventually turned Job's devastation, his sadness, into joy. There is a recurring theme in the Bible about how God allows distress, how he allows enemies, how he allows desperate situations. In fact, brings those things into our lives and then rescues us from them. Rescues us. A recurring theme in the Bible about how God allows enemies to appear to be winning and then rescues his people and brings joy. Seemed like Peninnah was winning. So why does God do this? Why did the Israelites come up to the Red Sea and seem trapped? Why didn't he just have it already parted when they got there? Why were there so many times that the Israelites were surrounded and it seemed hopeless? Why did Haman seem to have the upper hand and then God changed the ending? Why does Satan seem to be winning at times, but God always gets the victory? Why did David get into so many precarious situations and write psalms about it? Why did Daniel go to the lion's den? In short, why do dangerous, seemingly impossible situations happen to God's people? God enjoys being your hero to rescue you. He displays his power to you. He displays his faithfulness to you. Just when you think he isn't there in the darkest storm, like a storm on the Sea of Galilee, he calms the waters. Part of what it means when God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, is that God will always, always turn your despair and sadness to joy. Even if you never have a child, and even if the lions kill you or the waves overwhelm you, God will always give you beauty for ashes if you know him. This is the message God wants us to get from all of these accounts of distress and peril and anguish and seeming hopelessness when God comes in and rescues. Here's what he wants you to know. He is able to deliver thee. We sing about this theme that we find in the Bible. 'Tis the grandest theme, though the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world ever sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. God has revealed to us simple truths about himself in many different stories in the Bible. He repeats these themes or motifs over and over so that we might know what he is like and that he delights to rescue the downcast. The Bible does give us some answers to the questions of why when the sadness overwhelms us. The main answer that I think we all know is that it is for God's glory. How would we know his power and love if he didn't have an opportunity to rescue us? He reveals his faithfulness and power through every trial and every loss that we face. We shouldn't be surprised at what befalls us. This scene of peril and rescue has been repeated for God's people throughout the history of redemption. We should be concerned if trials never come. That's when we should be concerned. We should be concerned if we never come up against seemingly impossible situations. The psalmist in Psalm 73 said that the life of the lost is sometimes free of perilous times. Psalm 73, 3 through 5 says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." Not that the lost don't have trials, but if a person is one of those rare people who lives a somewhat uneventful life, then you aren't God's child. The other thing about those the psalmist mentions is that they don't get to experience being rescued by God either and having their sadness turned to joy. If we never had deep trials, then we could never sing Psalm 30 worshipfully from the heart. Worshiping our Savior, our Deliverer, our Rescuer, our Hero. Worshiping him. "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endures but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. We also see that God has his perfect timing. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Sometimes that time of impossible situation can be a while, can be a long time. Sometimes it can be a long thing to endure. Hannah had to endure years of taunting and doubt. Ours is to trust that God has his timing for things. God does dry every tear, but sometimes there are many years of tears. There's a reason that we're told to persevere, to not grow weary in well-doing. It's because God's timing is meant to stress our faith. God brings trials to strengthen and to test our faith. If you read about those in Hebrews 11 that exercise faith, it becomes clear that they had their faith tested. God gave us faith so that we could be witnesses of his work in our hearts. Men can't see our hearts, but man can see the evidence of what God has done in a heart when trials come. When we're overwhelmed and we praise him, when we're in a prison and we sing, the world looks at that and says, what has God done in that heart? What strength has God given? Because I don't have that strength. God gave us that faith so we can be witnesses of his work in our hearts. God doesn't tempt us with evil. He gives us an opportunity to have a victory. You know, a football team that never faces an opponent never has a victory either. And if they only face much lesser opponents, they never have great victories. God wants us to have trials that come at us like an opponent so that we can have victories through the power that he has given. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I'm going to give you an example that's from the car world. There's something I've seen done in the world of hot rods. They take a seemingly weak-looking car and drop a powerful engine in it. I saw once this person took a Honda Odyssey minivan, and it looked completely normal on the outside, and they dropped a supercharged engine in it. I've seen an old rusty farm truck looked completely farm truckish on the outside. And they were all laughing at the starting line till it took off. because someone had dropped a big block into it. You know, Hannah may have looked like just a little Jewish lady, but God had placed a powerful faith within her. Even though she had tears, she still sought the God who turned sadness to joy, and faith brought her the victory. The reason that God puts trials into our lives is to show off the faith he has dropped into our engine bay. Don't be surprised if God wants to take you down the track sometimes. He likes to win. And he likes to take grandma cars and beat the hot rods. He likes to take clunkers, put in his Holy Spirit, and beat the sports cars. Use what God's done in your heart. Because in the end, Hannah blew the doors off of Peninnah. Hannah won and then sang a song about it. Here is a little bit. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength." Yeah, you may have been strutting around over there saying, "I'm going to smoke your doors." Hannah says, "Who needs to shut up now?" Basically, "Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth." But Hannah knew where the power came from, and she realized her weakness. God brings trials so that we might realize our weakness and helplessness. Peter boasted of his power to stand for Jesus, so God let him take a run down the drag strip without his supercharger. After he understood his weakness, God empowered him at Pentecost, and he took a super bold stand for Christ. Before he was empowered, he retreated like a coward. But notice what happened at Pentecost. He stood boldly, and many repented. He went on to have some failures, but he also had many victories. He had a full life full of victories, victories he shared with God's people. There's another reason God allows us to go through times of great sadness. It's an opportunity for us to strengthen each other and grow closer to one another. Some of the greatest friendships that have ever been made were made in the foxholes of war. Buddies who carried their injured friend to safety. Prisoners of war together who shared their food with one another. The truth is that sometimes we are knocked down so someone else can pick us up. God likes love to be expressed, and he uses adversity as an opportunity for it to be expressed. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." God gives a blessing by having us go through things with our friends. Hannah and Elkanah had a loving marriage. Elkanah knew his wife had less than Peninnah, so he gave her a larger portion of food. He comforted her and cared about her. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, "Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" Battling together brings depth to relationships, including our relationship with God. Because no matter what, for the Christian, every battle ends in victory. I've seen these victories. I've lived long enough to be blessed to see people go through things and had their sadness turn to joy. I've seen relationships become strengthened and a joy found as people work together, strive together in this difficult situation. I've seen a mother and daughter go through a trial together and watch them care for each other and strengthen their relationship. I've seen a husband and wife care for a sick child and strengthen their relationship, praying with each other, supporting each other. Do we want God to rob us of these blessings by removing all sadness? God will eventually remove all opponents and dry every tear. But don't we want these opportunities for victories? Don't we want these opportunities for deeper relationships? Don't we want these opportunities to show forth God's glory in what he's done in our lives? I've seen sisters bond together to care for a parent. Elkanah and Hannah went through this together and also shared the victory together. Imagine what it was like when Samuel grew up to be Samuel. God is powerful enough to bring something joyful from something painful. We just have to trust. I left the best example for last. God wants all these times of us being rescued, delivered, saved out of adversity, difficult situation, impossible situations, to think of Christ, to be pointed to Christ for that most impossible of situations. The sadness of being bound by sin, the sadness of death that is an enemy that is coming for all of us. How do we defeat that enemy? Through the power of Christ, through the power of the blood, by coming to Christ. He's our deliverer. If we've looked to him to deliver us from everything in this life, he wants us to know from all of that, I will be your deliverer when that day comes. Some think they're powerful enough to face death alone. Some think they're powerful enough to face the consequences for sin alone. But only Jesus can turn that sadness to joy. He is the one who dries every tear and raises every believer from the sorrows of death. Only through the power of Christ will we hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." So Hannah was given a son, and it brought her great joy. What should this cause us to think about? Isaiah 9:6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He's our Savior. He's our hope. He's our deliverer in every trial in this life. And he's our deliverer at the last one. And he's powerful. He's mighty to save. Maybe you're listening online, you don't know him. I plead with you to flee to Christ. Ask him to save you. Ask him to deliver you from the wrath to come. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you would bless